So I'm excited about that stuff. But you know, it might be a temptation to want the supernatural things of God just for the thrill of it, just so you can get a little buzz on Sunday and get excited and then go back home and watch TV and get involved in all the worldly garbage that we've been involved in all week. That's not what that's there for. Maybe we might be tempted to say, well, you know, if we had signs and wonders, people would be drawn to the church and we could build a big church and we could be famous and get a bigger sign outside and more seats or something like that. That's not what that is there for. In fact, the more God moves powerfully, sometimes the more enemies you make. Amen? You can build a big church telling people what they want to hear. But I'm still praying for revival, though, man. I want God to come in here like a tidal wave, man. I want a Holy Spirit tsunami to sweep through this place, man. I would love to see this church filled, but I would love to see it filled with people on their faces before God who are just having that Holy Spirit surgery going on in their heart where He is taking them apart and putting them back together the right way and just doing wonderful, incredible things, man. So fill us up with that kind of attendance. Amen. Praise God, man. I think about the times that God has moved powerfully in those ways in my own life. And it has had a profound impact on my life when He has. You know, this is not some superficial, just, you know, thrill-seeking kind of thing. When I was lost before I came to Christ, I remember my aunt, who was a very Spirit-filled woman, she had given me some gospel tracts, and I was reading them, and I was thinking seriously about them and considering those things. And one day, she was over at our house, and she said, "John, do you mind if I pray for you?" Sure, Aunt Irene, come on, pray for me. I'm always open for that. You know, I'm a spiritual kind of guy. So I was so lost. So we began to just go into a state of prayer before God, a heart of prayer, and she laid hands on me, and she began to pray over me, and she began to prophesy over me. And boy, the Holy Spirit was all over her, man. I mean, she was shaking and everything. And she said, you know, the Lord wants to use my love for music and the songs that I write for His glory. And He wants to really bless that and multiply it and that people would be singing those things. But I had to surrender to Christ. I had to give my heart to Jesus Christ. And I had to lead my wife and my family to Christ also as the head of that house. And I had to get serious about it. God was not playing games with me, and I better really consider, you know, what He, you know, the obligation I had towards Him. I was like, okay, wow, that was interesting. I didn't exactly fall on my face and repent, but, you know, it just kind of stuck up there in my mind. I didn't forget about it either. It just played a part. I remember not too long after that, one afternoon, on a Saturday afternoon, I fell asleep on the couch, and I had a dream. I think it was actually a vision. I saw Jesus Christ. And He invited me to follow Him. And then He started flying through the air. So in my dream, I said, okay, Lord. And I yielded to Him and I started following Him. I began flying through the air with Jesus. I know that sounds silly. All right, you know, well, yeah, but what if we told your dreams up here? So, you know, yeah. Yeah, I saw my mom's dream journal one time. Like, man, she has some crazy dreams. But anyway, it had a profound impact. I woke up after that dream, and it had moved on me. And I was like, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to say to me? Because I thought I was a follower of Jesus Christ. I was really kind of clueless, but in my own way, I just felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. And eventually, you know, God graciously took me to a crusade where I heard the gospel really probably for the first time in my life, and I got wonderfully, gloriously saved. Later on, as a Christian, after I got saved, God also moved in various ways, visions and things like that. He would give me dreams. I believe they were visions at night, where in my dream, He would show me a picture of something, in particular, some way that I had fallen short, either as a father or as a husband or as the head of my house. And it would convict me powerfully. I mean, the vision would be so graphic. And it would wake me up in the middle of the night, and I would wake up just trembling, sometimes sweating, and just under holy conviction about what God was saying to me. And I couldn't get back to sleep for hours. I don't think that was a dream. I think that was a vision. because it changed my heart. I had a repentance. I had a change of mind and a change of heart, and I acted differently towards my responsibilities, towards my wife, or towards my children. And I am so grateful that he did, because in those visions, he showed me the devastation that would take place in my life if I did not heed the vision that he was giving me and the conviction he was putting on my heart. These things that God gives us are not for our entertainment. They have consequences. And if we don't obey the voice of the Lord when he comes to us through prophecy that's confirmed or visions or different things like that, the consequences are real and we stand to lose in a big way. So I am grateful because in those visions he showed me what would happen if I didn't obey. And thank God that those things did not take place in my life. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that he works in signs and wonders. I'm sure that many of us could testify if we just had a testimony day here and just said, come on up and tell us what God has done supernaturally in your life to help you grow in Christ. We could probably spend hours just talking about all the different things that God has done in our life in a supernatural, powerful way. Now, some very dear Christian folks, people that I admire and respect and love deeply, teach that we don't need signs and wonders today because we have the completed canon of Scripture. We've got all we need. It's complete. All we have to do is go to the Word and get everything and anything that we need from God based on, you know, His Word. And I don't want to take anything away from the power of the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God is alive, and it is like a two-edged sword, piercing, you know, to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Word of God, when we receive the Word of God, we get saved when we receive the engrafted Word with meekness. So I don't want to take anything away from that. Nevertheless, it is the very Word of God that teaches us that God has given us the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in these signs and wonders, to perform these things for His name. And so if we're going to uphold the Word, we might as well obey what it says and seek God for those gifts that He has given us. Amen? I mean, if the Scripture teaches that, you know, that He works supernaturally through gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we want to obey the Word, we don't want to say, well, we don't need those things that the Word tells us we need because we have the Word. It doesn't make sense. So if we're going to be followers of the Word, we need to boldly follow and walk in faith that God is going to move in those ways as He has ordained that He's going to do. And today, particularly, we want to look at how God used visions and prophetic gifts and signs and wonders in order to save and empower one of the greatest men that ever lived in Scripture, Saul of Tarsus, who would later be known as the Apostle Paul. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me, we're going to go to Acts chapter 9. We're going to continue our study in the book of Acts. We're moving into the second half of chapter 9, starting at verse 10. And last week we talked about this guy. We talked about Saul and how God used what to reach him? A vision. Amen. He used a vision. Saul was persecuting the church violently. He was a man that literally breathed rage and murder and violence against the church. He hated Jesus Christ. He hated the church. He was persecuting it with all of his fervor, arresting men and women, dragging them out of their homes, beating them, sentencing them to death. And as he was on his way to Damascus with letters from the chief priest to arrest people there, right before he got to the city, Jesus Christ met him on the road, and he had a vision of Jesus Christ. Knocked him right on his back. All the people around him fell on the ground. There was a light that shone from heaven that outshone the very noonday sun of the Middle East. And Jesus Christ spoke to him, and Saul was saved through a vision that he had on the road. Now, nevertheless, his world was kind of rocked. His cage was pretty rattled. He was physically blinded by the glory of that vision, by that light that came down upon him. He could not eat or drink for 3 days. And we're going to get into this in a little bit of detail, but Saul's world was rocked. They led him into the city by the hand, and they took him to a particular place. And shortly after that, we find ourselves in verse 10. And it says there, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. This is not the Ananias that died with his wife, Ananias and Sapphira. This is another guy named Ananias. That was a common name back then. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, amen, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind or arrest all who call on your name. In other words, what do you want me to do exactly? But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues. Let me say that again. Immediately, he preached who? Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Wow. Then all who heard were amazed and said, isn't this he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Wow. Yeah, amen. What a transformation. Talk about day and night. This guy was on his way there to kill people. He was there to arrest them and beat them and drag them off to prison so he could sentence them to death because they believed in Jesus Christ. And here is this man suddenly in the synagogues declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I mean, people's heads must have got, their necks must have got whiplash from turning and doing a double take. Are you sure? Look at Saul, man. Are you sure? That is not Saul. That is not Saul. He just looks like Saul. No, man, I'm serious. That's Saul. I'm telling you, man. I recognize the garment. I mean, you can imagine. Who is this? They were amazed. What a transformation. Amen. And how did God do that? Well, Ananias, he sent Ananias, and Ananias got out the big old scroll, and he laid it on the table, and he said, okay, Saul, if you'll read with me. Oh, I'm sorry. Just listen. Isaiah 53. Heck no. And not to diminish Scripture at all. Praise God for the power of His living Word. But But this transformation came about because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And all the cessationist arguments about, well, God only moved that way to show the apostles that the Holy Spirit was going through these various people groups, does not fly in this situation. You go to this passage and all the arguments fall to the ground, man. This is a dude with another dude praying over him to be filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost and to receive a miraculous healing and have a vision.